Today we're going to go back to the year 1998 and slowly but surely eviscerate my teenage years.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head to the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying get back together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realized it's all my fault but couldn't tell you. Yesterday you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Decomposition Podcast, where we hyper-analyze all of your favorite terrible songs. My name is Brad, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Katie. Katie, how are you doing today?
I am tired.
You are tired. That is a strong start. That is a strong, strong start. Everybody, just keep listening, no matter how boring this gets. Now, today, we have with us friend, educator, improv comedian, and podcast host, our friend Christina. Christina, how are you doing today?
I am well. Thank you.
Christina, you are a co-host of the A Jar of Salsa podcast, available on YouTube. Could you tell us a little bit about A Jar of Salsa?
Sure.
Tell us what it basically, like, what, you know, what the premise is, what we're going to be hearing in the upcoming episodes.
Sure. So a very brief backstory is I was delirious in a Starbucks with my colleague at the time, and she had come back from a semester party with chips and salsa. So we just started breaking out these chips and salsa in Starbucks, and one thing led to another, and we thought about having a podcast where we taste test different salsas. And then we thought, well, maybe we should have more of a specific audience here. So we decided...
Not just the salsa-loving public. Yeah.
You know, there's although there's very many people that do love salsa.
Sure. Ask Mexico.
We decided to focus it on learning while laughing. So the idea of having different themes such as language, writing, creative writing, humor, etc., and having different people on who have experience or expertise in those areas, interviewing them, having a teacher's corner kind of moment where teachers get ideas or students get ideas for learning, and then kind of end with a variety show type of game is pretty much our setup, while taste testing salsa.
While eating salsa.
Yes.
Well, so to prepare for crunch. Tonight, Brad made Christina salsa from scratch. We ate it before we started the podcast.
We had a bowl of salsa.
But we did have a bowl of salsa instead of a jar tonight.
Now, Christina, something I need to ask you as a first-time guest on our show.
Of course.
What was your first album purchase? First album you ever either owned or bought with your own money? This just kind of to prove that you also have a terrible taste in music like the rest of us.
Oh, well, this is very embarrassing then. Because if I could say the first album that was ever handed to me, it was Nirvana's first album. But the first album I ever purchased was probably the Backstreet Boys' first album. And I am embarrassed.
Well, it's not the worst I've heard. So
I know. I mean, my first album purchase was Joey Lawrence's CD. So,
mine,
you know,
was Poison's Open Up and Say Ah. So on cassette. So
Backstreet Boys were at least, you know, incredibly popular.
They were. But, you know.
Well, the song we have today, Christina, this was your request. You wanted to rip into this song. 1998, number one hit single on four different Billboard charts. Biggest hit by the Bare Naked Ladies. Of course, I'm talking about 1 Week. Now, Christina, you just wanted to do this song because you said it's just utter nonsense, correct? Just like start to finish?
That was my initial, yes, reaction to the song.
And do you feel a little bit different now?
I do. I looked into some conspiracy theories.
That's all. Well, I'm sure by the end of this, you'll understand why they were my favorite band for years upon, including like my most like formative teenage years were almost entirely based around this band.
Yeah, Brad's own music is heavily influenced by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm very open.
So like I said, it was number one on Billboard's Hot 100, on the Top 40 Mainstream, Modern Rock Tracks, and then some chart called the Top 40 Adult Recurrence was also a number one hit.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
Neither have I until I looked it up this morning.
Me neither.
The single sold 5 million copies. The album sold 4 million copies. Bare Naked Ladies have since had a handful of hits, but none nearly as massive as this particular song.
So basically, Christina, Brad saying this song is amazing.
This song is outstanding.
I'm not saying it's not.
All things being equal, this is not my favorite Bare Naked Ladies song by any means. I mean, I enjoy it. It's fun. It's catchy. Seeing it live is a lot of fun. The rapping that he does. See, here's the thing about the song. I think they were trying to put together a single that exemplified their live show. And they're like, I don't know if you've ever seen them live.
I haven't.
But it's a lot of just, like, improv, make it up as you go. There's a lot of rapping. Ed Robertson does a lot of rapping in the show. And I think that they were putting together something to show what they were as a live band. Now, I do have a little story behind the song, which is fun.
Do tell.
So all the choruses, which are different each time you hear it, it's a slightly different chorus, is based around a fight between a man and a woman in a relationship. So that makes sense.
Right. I mean, that's pretty obvious just from hearing the song.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what happened was they were trying to have like a rap verse based around that idea of two people in a relationship fighting, and they just failed miserably at writing a rap about that. So the other lead singer, Steve Page, just suggested that Ed Robertson improv the verses the way he would in a live show. And the story goes that he did that. He cut it down from about 4 minutes to 3.5 minutes, said, don't change a word, and they just stuck with it. Lo and behold, here comes this hit. Honestly, first time I heard this song, I was like, there's no way that's actually Bare Naked Ladies.
So, as an improv comedian,
right?
Christina should be digging it.
She should be.
This is true.
There are rules. She should be. With that, Christina, do you have the lyrics available to you?
I sure do.
Would you do us the favor of reading this first hunk of lyrics here?
I would love to. It's been
sure.
1 week since you looked at me.
You don't have to sing it.
No. Just the first two words.
Okay.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me, cocked your head to the side and said, I'm angry. 5 days since you laughed at me, saying, get that together, come back and see me. 3 days since the living room, I realize it's my fault, but I couldn't tell you. Yesterday you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
I think that's a great chorus.
Yeah,
to be honest, I think that's a very well written chorus.
I agree.
And it gets across that point.
Right, but nobody is here to decompose the chorus. Let's be honest.
No. Yeah, no, it's the verses that we're aiming for.
I think we can all agree the chorus makes sense.
For our purposes, the choruses are kind of just like a necessary evil to get to the real, like, you know, meat and potatoes.
But there's nothing to talk about in this chorus.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
Like, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Katie, we have something to talk about.
In this chorus?
Well,
in a later chorus, maybe.
In all of, well, in the song as a whole.
Every word.
In
every
the chorus sigh. Is that the plural of chorus?
You're I don't the know. English teacher.
I don't know. I'm asking
choruses.
For help. It's probably chorus I, I think.
Chorus I.
Mm. Okay, well.
It's like octopus.
Sizz.
So then, do we just launch into the verse then?
Yeah,
do
I think
just,
so.
Sounds good.
All right. Do you want me to do this?
Yes, sure.
All right. Hold it now and watch the hoodwink. As I make you stop, think. You'll think you're looking at Aquaman. I summon fish to the dish, although I like the chalet swish. I like the sushi because it's never touched a frying pan. Hot like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Big like Leanne rhymes because I'm all about value. Burt Kampfert's got the mad hits. You try to match wits. You try to hold me, but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a fake. I like a stinkin' ache and shake. I like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors. Gotta see the show because then you'll know that the vertigo is gonna grow because it's so dangerous you'll have to sign a waiver. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean. You soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt.
There's so much happening.
That's a lot
That's
of words.
A lot of things.
That is a lot of things. I did have to Google some of the references. Like, for example, I had no idea who Burt Kampfert was. Is anybody?
I have no idea.
No hands
Christina?
Here.
No? He was a songwriter who wrote Donka Shane by Wayne Newton.
Oh.
Strangers in the Night by Sinatra. A song by Elvis called Wooden Heart, L-O-V-E.
So I guess Burt Kampfert.
He has mad hits. Kampfert.
Yeah. Does have the mad hits.
He does have the mad hits. Katie, give me your thoughts on this verse.
I know I'm skipping down to a little bit farther. But you know the line where it says, I'd like a stinking, aching shake?
Yeah.
I always thought that that said, I'd like a steak and shake.
Huh.
Me too.
I definitely thought it was steak and shake.
He was just
shake.
Like stuttering over the steak and shake?
Yeah, I'd like a steak and shake. I like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors.
Mm.
A stinking, aching. Why would I want a vanilla shake that smells bad? That seems really weird.
It hurts for that matter. Yeah. Stinking, aching shake.
Right.
I also feel like vanilla smells one way, and if you don't expect that vanilla smell, like, you're in for disappointment.
Right, right. Yeah. So that was the first thing that struck me. I had to take down a note immediately.
Just
I was
immediately
like,
have to get to the,
that
get
doesn't
to the,
say steak,
the
and,
steak
shake.
And aching shake or whatever you steak and shake.
But I don't know, if we go back to like the first part of that bit of lyrics, what do you think, Christina, when you go from the hoodwink to the frying pan?
Well, I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but words work in mysterious ways. Can I say the thing that I
yes,
found?
Yes, tell Katie what it is.
You have
that
no
would
idea.
Tell
There's
her.
Some kind of secret conspiracy there that is, Christina and Brad know about.
All right. I don't know if Brad is, I'm sure he has found it, but I'm just saying that when I found...
Keep going, Christina. Our pet animals fights. Are having,
cover.
Having a fight. It's okay.
We have a podcast where we feature pet fights every so often. So
all the hair is standing up.
You betcha. You're going to have to sweep again after Christina leaves.
That's right.
So basically, I will not say the source until the very end because I'm embarrassed by the source
oh,
that
boy.
I found it from. But it was a story of a relationship, and they kind of, like, went over the verses as just saying that he was going through this kind of madness as he had murdered his girlfriend with a golf club.
Okay.
So this was a conspiracy that was proposed in 2015 by a Reddit user.
All right.
And now I have Bare Naked Ladies have, as far as I could find, like, not commented on this at all.
Mm-mm.
Which...
I didn't find anything either.
No, I was like sitting there Googling, like, what did Ed Robertson say about this murder conspiracy? Nothing, not a thing. Now, it's only 2 years old. Maybe he hasn't had time to go on Reddit. I don't
in
know.
The last 2 years.
In the last 2 years. But yeah, so it's basically all of the references. So it gets a little more specific, as I found, in that, like, it's 3 days ago he murdered his girlfriend after getting into a fight with her, and now he's basically, like, starving himself in his home, you know, not knowing what to do with the body.
Right.
And so,
and that's where the madness lies in the verses about the food, because
yeah.
he's so hungry, and
exactly.
he can't think about anything but what he has done, and then also all the food that he's not eating.
I want to read you the actual proposal for the theory that this Reddit user...
I'm trying to look at the verse here and make it happen in my mind.
Oh, we will break this down
all right,
for
all right,
you.
All right, all
right. I got some
Frey.
Stuff, too.
Okay.
All right. He says, it's Euchrid Ucro is the guy's name. He says, I propose that, although the band has stated that the song is more or less about nothing, that it is, in fact, about a man who murdered his girlfriend in a fit of rage 3 days ago and is now sitting in the living room with her corpse, slowly losing his mind as he forgets to eat and formulates a story to tell the police. So that is the basic theory.
There's already like a hole in that in the chorus.
What's that?
Because the chorus says, yesterday you've forgiven me.
Mm.
So
well,
he must have murdered her yesterday, but he won't feel bad about it for two more days?
Well, he has like a reason for that
there
somewhere
is.
In here. Oh, I'm trying to go through the...
Come on, folks. I'm all ready to combat this conspiracy.
I got it. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry. Days after the incident, he's still locked in their apartment with her body. He hasn't had anything to eat or drink in that time. He imagined her saying that everything would be fine and their fighting and breaking up weren't his fault. And he also believes that in 2 days' time, Monday morning, someone will notice her missing and the police will show up and he'll be sorry when they show up.
But that still doesn't convince me that it was 3 days ago that he murdered her, because this is still just the next day. The chorus says yesterday, so this is the next day.
Yeah, but if he's starving himself and slowly going crazy, maybe
so you
he's
think
imagining
he like,
that
he may
her
lose track of days.
Okay.
So,
I can go along with that.
So that's fun. And so that's where all these like bizarre references come in, is basically like him addressing this corpse that's living in his living room after he beat her up with a golf club.
The article that I found has pictures.
Ooh. What kind of pictures?
They are little cartoons.
So is this the same BuzzFeed article that I'm looking at? Are those the cartoons that you're talking about?
I didn't
want
to admit to it because we all know how great BuzzFeed is. But yes, I found it on BuzzFeed.
Listen, if I'm using BuzzFeed to rip apart a song, I think it's a fine source to use.
I think there's a time and a place for BuzzFeed, and this is that time and place.
And the place, yes.
So wait, when he says hold it now and watch the hoodwink, what is he talking to us or is he talking to her?
I think those are the verses where he slowly loses his mind.
So, like, is he saying to no one, like, watch while I take you through this trick of some kind? I mean, the hoodwink someone is to trick them.
I'll go with yeah. Sure.
Okay, sure.
why not? Your theory is as good as Euchred Euchro, or whatever his name is. The darkest line, however, in all of this seems to be, I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean. Well, you soon will.
That does take...
Dun, dun, dun.
So
that does take that line to a really, really dark...
Yeah, that gets dark. Isn't it great?
It's like we're in the sun, and then it's like immense darkness.
He's definitely... I mean, whether he murdered someone or not, he's definitely at one point saying that he's smarter than them.
Yeah.
He says,
oh, yeah.
You know, you try to match wits. Uh-huh. You try to hold me, but I bust through. So he's like, you're trying to be...
That's him fighting her off.
You know, as smart, as talented, as whatever as me, but I get through that every time.
Oh, I'm thinking he's like, you try to hold me physically, and I bust, bust out.
She was fighting for a life then. That's dark.
And then as it goes on, like as he's basically holed up in his apartment with this corpse, he's getting hungrier and hungrier. And so that's where you have things like he talks about the Swiss Chalet, sushi,
the steak and shake. I mean, the stink and ache and shake.
Stink and ache and shake, absolutely. Leanne Rimes? I don't know. That's just filler, obviously.
Is it? There's two music references.
How do I live without you? Is that a thing?
Well, it says, when I bust rhymes, big like Leanne Rimes. In 1998, Leanne Rimes was huge.
Yeah.
Like, hugely popular. So he's saying, like, I'm hugely popular like Leanne Rimes.
So I'll murder you with golf clubs.
And that's why he's all about value. Because he's big like Leanne Rimes.
What?
I just made my
microphone. How do you feel about that?
Empowered.
All right. So,
what about the gotta see the show because then you'll know the vertigo is going to grow because it's so dangerous you'll have to sign a waiver. Their shows are so dangerous you'll have to sign a waiver? How does that prove that he murdered someone?
That's not part of the theory that I read on BuzzFeed.
Oh, okay.
No, I was, you know, I had a secondary article here on a website called The Daily Dot.
Ooh, good sources.
Yeah, absolutely nailing it. They didn't have this in the Encyclopedia Britannica. I apologize. let's see. Euchred's theory holds that it's the murderer addressing his partner's corpse as he anticipates her funeral. The theory argues that the song's repeated references to the singer losing his shirt are precisely what you'd expect if the shirt was stained with blood. And in the middle of the otherwise incoherent rap verse, the surprisingly cogent sentence about getting a new set of golf clubs is perfectly in keeping with the thoughts of somebody who's just used one as a murder weapon. Okay, admit it. You're starting to get a little creeped out, right? So, I think that's all we got for verse one as far as this murder theory goes.
It's like a game of Clue. It's like he did it with the golf club in the living room.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we're playing right now.
If only this song came with dice.
Folks, I have to tell you, though, I'm not on board with the theory.
Okay.
So you'll have to continue to try to convince me.
Okay.
Katie, why don't you read the second chorus?
I don't remember where we stopped. Oh, I got it. Okay. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean? Well, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of taking off my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me, threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me, I still got the rug burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon you realized it's not my fault, not a moment too soon. Yesterday, you'd forgiven me, and now I sit back and wait till you say you're sorry.
Okay, so similar to the first chorus,
mm-hmm.
Minus the rug burns bit. Again, I love that chorus.
Yeah,
I think that's a well-written chorus. Love it a lot, even in Bare Naked Ladies' most nonsense song, an excellent chorus.
Christina, how do you think it fits with your theory?
I agree, and I think it fits very well. It kind of sounds like maybe she was a little bit of a match for him. Mm. So like she...
Like physically...
Right. Tackled him. He's got some rug burns. And then he says, it's been 3 days in the afternoon. You realize it's not my fault. Not a moment too soon. So that goes back to the idea of her saying, well, you know, it's not your fault that we're fighting and we're breaking up. Everything,
and then smash across, you know, the head with a golf club.
Bada boom, right? And then he just sits back and waits till you say you're sorry. So I feel like, and I might have gotten this from the theory or like in my brain or maybe both, but the idea of because he's going crazy, he's kind of putting himself in her shoes saying, well, I'm going to wait till you say you're sorry, but she's dead.
And so he's just like waiting for the corpse to say she's sorry?
He's kind of waiting for that or for him to finally admit that he's sorry for what he'd done.
A crazy person would hallucinate that a corpse is forgiving him.
But if she realizes it's not his fault, not a moment too soon. Like if I do something not a moment too soon, I do it just in time. So wouldn't she have realized it's not his fault just in time for him to not kill her?
Well, I think she did before because she, like, the idea of what he said before saying, like, everything's okay, like, mm-hmm. even though we're going to break up, it's not your fault, but I think maybe the madness started to set in then.
What if she's pleading for her life?
Oh, no, I hate it.
That's why she...
And he took it as an attack?
Is sad.
Yeah, it's so catchy.
Like it's so catchy.
Is that Dukes of Hazzard music video going on?
You want to snap your fingers and cry at
absolutely.
The same time.
That's right. That's right.
Should we go to the next verse then?
Yes.
Yes. Who's going to read that? You want to do it, Christina?
I'm raising my hand.
Yes, go ahead.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on. We're... Don LaMaison, I apologize. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like Sting, I'm tantric. Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy. Am I keep going?
Yep.
Keep going. Mm. Keep going. No, don't be sad.
Okay.
You got this.
Like Kurosawa. Kurosawa. I make mad films. Okay, I don't make films. But I if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better clubs. See the golf clubs?
Mm-hmm.
Gonna find the kind with tiny nubs so my irons aren't always flying off the backswing. Gonna get in tune with Sailor Moon because that cartoon has got some...
The boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing.
Correct. So as I'm reading this, I'm like thinking about how fast he's saying it in his mind. And I'm trying to slow myself down.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but I love that line. I think it's funny.
All right, so interesting little factoid unrelated to murder.
Ooh.
The Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken, is a reference to a tribe called Quest's scenario. You know, so what, so what, so what, so what.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a Busta Rhymes part in that song.
But do they say Chickadee China?
It's not Chickadee China, but it's similar to that. I can't remember what it is offhand.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's a little factoid I made.
What's Don's La Maison?
In the house. It's French. Okay, this is something I know from my teenage years. Here comes 17-year-old Brad Whitley to drop some knowledge on you. All right? Are you ready for this?
I am so ready.
All right. So evidently when these guys are on tour, they're watching the X-Files on DVD. Mm-hmm. That's what they would do. That was their thing. And whenever they would get back onto the tour bus, they would sing, "We're Don La Maison," which means we're in the house. Okay? And then the other people would echo it, "Don La Maison, La Maison, La Maison," which is like the X-Files theme. So that's why they did that.
So that has nothing to do with murder.
Unless you're murdering somebody in the house.
And it goes on.
In Canada, where they speak French.
Oh!
Boom. Just like an X-Files episode.
Christina just exploded her brain again.
I did. I keep forgetting that I'm doing motions.
Your poor brain has exploded.
I know. It's going to hurt soon, I think.
So that's... Fun factoid about that I've been holding in my head for 20 years now. Sorry,
cool.
Math.
Cool.
Sorry about that math. I've been filling my brain with this stuff. So
what do you think about this one, Christina?
Well, I also think it's kind of like a cop-out when they say that, you know, he mentions all these things because he's going slowly in a fit of rage and also madness, and he's thinking about, just anything that pops in his head. But I just keep, I mean, they made a good point because he's talking about food and then it goes from food into something else. And I feel like
talking about food and then all of a sudden it goes from your brain stopped ticking.
Right. And it's just like, it's just going in all different directions.
It's crazier and crazier as the verse goes on.
You could just as easily say you have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking means like you went into a food coma, though.
That's a good point.
Well, I agree with that. That's true.
I'm just trying to fight against the dark, dark secrets.
How would he end up in a food coma from what has happened?
Well, no, he eats Chickity China, the Chinese chicken. He has a drumstick and his brain stops ticking.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, he eats his Chickity China chicken, which is just fun to say.
Say it one more time.
Chickity China. Chickity China, the Chinese chicken. And then, you know, after you eat a lot of food, like chicken, for example, your brain might go blank for a while.
Stops ticking.
You're in a food coma. Because, I'm sorry, Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic, maybe the murder theory, because he's frantic with what's happened. Like, Sting, I'm tantric, what is he doing to that body,
folks? He's still delusional and kind of communicating with this corpse, so it's not necessarily dead in his brain.
Well, wait, let's continue to think about what he's doing with this body.
Okay. I'm nervous
because
now.
Like Snickers, guaranteed to satisfy, and I am uncomfortable.
This was your song choice, Christina. This was your choice.
I'm just saying, if we're going with, like, Sting, I'm tantric, like Snickers guaranteed to satisfy, I'd much rather she was alive and they're just making up.
I hope she's alive at that point.
Yeah, everybody would
prefer that. Katie.
Or maybe he just tried to feed her a Snickers because he wanted her to
come eat something. Just eat something.
Eat and be alive, and she can't because she's dead.
Well, that's very polite.
Another fun bit about murder here is the next reference where they talk about Seven Samurai, Akira Kurosawa's film. And how, you know, samurai swords, and this theory proposes that he's imagining using a golf club like it was a sword.
I'm having a hard time coming up with another theory.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his irons are flying off, and he wants smaller ones so that they don't go flying. So
there was something sinister when it was being read about the idea that he wanted better clubs with tiny nubs. Like, something about that felt more violent. But I'm trying to resist your theory anyway.
Well,
that's fair. Well, then we get into Sailor Moon.
Yes. Then there's Sailor Moon. More Japanese cultural 1998 strong references.
Yeah, but I'm also confused because that cartoon has got the boom anime babes that make me think the wrong thing.
Yeah.
How are you confused by that? Come on.
Come on. He's tantric.
You know what that means.
Dude's
thinking about murder, though.
That doesn't work with murder.
I know, but that's what I'm saying.
You know what the line means on its own. Sure. You're just saying it doesn't tie into...
There's no confusion with the line, but like tying that in with murder. Or is this just part of the cop-out madness?
Or is he getting tantric? Is he guaranteed to satisfy the boom anime babes?
It's like Snickers and Sting.
I have to go back to the band's answer that it's just about putting interesting sounds together. You know, because... I get your theory from time to time, but then when we get right down to it, not all of the lines match up with that theory, and I think sometimes it's just about saying fun things. Like, it's fun and it's funny to say that, like, Sailor Moon is a sexy cartoon.
There's not a single part of me that buys this theory.
It's just nice to talk
about.
It's
just really interesting.
Yeah.
It is.
Somebody put serious time and effort into, like, trying to link all these things together.
Kudos to that guy on Reddit, by the way.
So.
Chickity China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watching X-Files with no lights on, with all our masks on. I hope the smoking man's in this one. Like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. Like Sting, I'm tantric. Like Sting is guaranteed to satisfy. Like Kurosawa.
All right. So then, last chorus. Do you mind if I just knock that out here?
Go for it.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me, dropped your arms to your sides, and said, I'm sorry.
I have to interrupt you. You skipped the first part of the chorus.
How can I help it if I think it's funny when you're mad?
Oh, that's the first part of it. Yeah. How can I help it if I think you're funny when you're mad? Trying hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean, you soon will. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me, dropped your arms to your sides, and said, I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you and said, you just did just what I thought you were going to do. 3 days since a living room. We realize we're both to blame, but what could we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me, because it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Still be 2 days till we say we're sorry.
I think 2 days till we say we're sorry. I forgot there were
Birchmont Stadium, home of the Robbie.
I have no idea what that last thing.
I can tell you what that means because I've got that little factoid as well.
Ooh. Can I say what I wanted to say first, though?
Do it.
I just think the chorus is cute. I just think it's adorable.
It's like, well written.
I agree. It has a lovely melody, too.
It goes through like their fight and how silly and insignificant it is. And then yesterday you smiled at me because it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. So it's like acknowledging that we both think we're wrong, but we're not ready to admit it yet. And that's cute. And I don't believe that anyone's dead.
Well, we can always hope.
Or she, she can admit it because...
Good news.
That's true.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Dude's got an airtight alibi because... no one's been arrested as of yet.
That's true.
So
it's a long time.
We can't prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that bare naked ladies are in fact bloody, bloody murderers. Let me tell you about Birchmont Stadium. It is evidently a stadium that was right near Steve Page's grade school in Canada. And so evidently once upon a time, he promised that if he ever made it big, he would mention them in a song. The Robbie is a soccer tournament that is held there.
And so basically got to the end of the song and just threw it in because he promised that's what he would do.
Which and also it rhymed.
Just a goofy type thing that they do, you know? So evidently there's a sign outside Birchmont Stadium that says home of the Robbie. So that's that little factoid. I did find out that evidently in the liner notes, they had published lyrics that weren't used for it. And so I dug these liner notes. That's the sound of liner notes, guys. out of my closet, which I haven't looked at in probably about 15 years. And it's the most ridiculous thing to have this be a factoid that is mentioned because you can see, like, it's like superimposed over a picture of a fish.
Yes, it is.
It's the dumbest thing. So I'm really disappointed in whoever dropped that factoid on the internet because it is, for all intents and purposes, a useless factoid.
So you can't read it?
I can't read. Well, I could try to read it.
Try to read it, Brad. Come on.
Because you only get like bits and pieces.
What do you see?
It's like the rest of the song. I'm sorry.
Ouch.
It was an inside thought.
Just it came outside.
Happened to... There's a microphone in front of me.
The only words that I can read that are not in the actual lyrics are the is the phrase, from the pavement.
That's not very exciting at all.
Yeah. What did I just say about that factoid?
Okay, so she got hit with the golf clubs.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And now she's buried,
to the pavement.
Buried underneath the pavement. And they will never find her body.
I think this song's the best.
I
really like it, though.
I still every once in a while go into a bare naked ladies wormhole and will just listen to them for hours upon hours at a time.
I always said that if I was like the karaoke master, I would be able to do this song
at karaoke. You got to practice.
I know.
Because
I know.
I would knock this song out in a heartbeat. But Christine, if I could get you to sing this song, I would have my entire band learn it. Like, perfectly.
Summer goals.
So
summer goals!
Summer woo-hoo! Goals.
Which year? What year?
2017. Let's do it.
That is. So, any final thoughts?
I think this song is fun. I don't think it's about murder. I think it's just about a couple that had a fight, and there's a bunch of fun-sounding nonsense in between.
Yeah.
And unlike Savage Garden, which if you're a regular listener, you know how we talked about like the fact that in the Savage Garden song, what was the song
Chicka
we did?
Cherry Cola, right, I Want
Chicka
You.
Chicka Cherry Cola. Where they're not Chickadee really China. Kind of pulling off the whole... let's just do interesting sounds here. Bare Naked Ladies pulls that off. I love this song. I think it's just so much fun to sing along to, and I don't care that it doesn't make sense. And I'd rather say it doesn't make sense than say it's about murdering someone.
Well, you can have your theories also, I suppose.
Christina, final thoughts?
All right, so I'm going to just let you guys feel a little old. But
thanks.
I remember listening to
Boo. Boo, Christina.
I'm sorry.
Boo.
I remember listening. So I used to ice skate when I was younger.
I just want everyone to know we're technically the same generation. Like, just barely,
but
technically
we
are.
No, you're
all right,
fair.
Go
That's
on.
Fair. I remember getting
rear.
shots fired. My father used to drive me to like ice skating practice when I used to ice skate, and this song was like always on Radio Disney. And I was 7, and I would sit in the back of the car and like
sing like Sting, I'm Tantric.
And like the chicken, the china, like the like all these like things about food. And I just remember like laughing so hard in the car. So like it always brought back like good memories for me. And the melody I think is great. I've been watching a lot of Sherlock lately. So the idea of murder is one that
voice. Something I just read, I want to throw out there real quick. In the Harrison Ford movie Frantic, it was also featured a man involved in his wife's disappearance.
With golf clubs?
With tiny nubs.
With chickadee china. So
it's all there. Oh, you proved me wrong again.
So take that, ice skating, singing, Radio Disney.
Radio Disney.
So
back in the day.
All right. Well, I guess we should wrap it up then, getting to that point. Christina, why don't you just tell everybody again where they can find the podcast, what it's called, what it's about real quick.
Thank you. So it is called the total name is A Jar of Salsa, colon, for the casual academic. Our Twitter handle is jarofsalsa_pod and A Jar of Salsa on YouTube. So you can find us on there. We will soon be on iTunes and also Google Play.
Excellent. Now, right now, you just have the one episode. Do you know when the next one's supposed to post? Or
within the next month. We're hoping to have one a month.
All right. Excellent. I have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. I have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me. All right. Well, we are Decomposition Podcast. You can always shoot us an email at decompositionpod@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at decomp_pod if you have any thoughts, comments, questions, song suggestions, or if you just want to shoot us a dirty meme or something like that. We'll just keep us entertained. But till then, yeah, that's what we're here for. It's for fantastic. Yes. Whatever. Anyway, you guys, thank you very much for listening, and you guys just chill till the next episode. Get through the commercial first.
Ooh, there's a pug.
There's a pug blowing out his
birthday. Thank you for doing this with us. It was really
fun. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, that's not where we want it.
It's Ben. That's pretty good.
I'm going to get to the... Ben. I'm trying to get to the second verse. So
what's the second? There's so many...
Chickadee China.
Okay. I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to try. If I go like this, it's because I can't keep up.
You ready?
Anticipation.
Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watch an X-Files with the lights on. With the Maison.
I hope the song is an X-Files like Harrison Ford. I'm getting frantic.
I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral. Can't understand what I mean.
Well, you soon will.
Ooh. That wasn't singing.
I have a history of losing my shirt.
Did you scream losing my shirt? Jason, it's the afternoon.
You just adjust what I thought you were going to do. 3 days in the living room. Realize we're both to blame, but what did we do yesterday? You just smile at me. It'll still be today, so we say we're sorry. Still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Birchmont Stadium, home of the Robbies.
Guys, I think that was expertly done. Our number Fantastic. One hit song singers. So, boom.
Twice, I think.
Episode done.